Is it true we won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without a vaccine?
And you've seen it right here in Dallas. They've announced you can't go to a Dallas Mavericks game unless you're vaccinated. You've had people say, listen, you have passports. You had colleges today announce that they're not going to give any credit to natural immunity. Every scientist in the world knows that the natural immunity is way better than the vaccine immunity.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, Radio for the Remnant. Brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with a leader in the medical industry, Twyla Braes. Will vaccines become the law of the land soon? Are you one whose very livelihood is at stake if you don't get the COVID vaccination? If this conflict has entered your daily life, then we hope this hour is informative. Here is today's programming.
So now we have this Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity. We're going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people to get there. What happens then if we end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious, that could cause more disease, that could evade the protection of our immune system? And so how quickly we get this under control and which way we go depends on what we do now when it comes to vaccination, to overcoming disinformation. And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. It's fine. I mean, it's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you want to do anyway. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take for us to actually end the pandemic.
Welcome to the program. Glad you can join me this week for Understanding the Times Radio. That was the voice of Leanna Nguyen, former head of Planned Parenthood, stating that we must make life for the unvaccinated very difficult. Well, what is she thinking? There was a time when forcing vaccines, or for that matter, any medical treatment on people who didn't want it, was unthinkable. She says it needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. And then she argued last week that President Biden should have used Independence Day as an occasion to argue for freedom only for the vaccinated. She says it's time for Mr. Biden to make the case for vaccine requirements. Well, our own Department of Justice here at the very end of July said that it's okay to have forced vaccines. So are those who are constitutionally protected from such forced treatments now going to become the hunted? I know this sounds extreme, but the more I hear about the intentions of required injections to live even a moderately stable life, the more concerned I am getting on a daily basis. So are the non-injected people in the era of COVID about to become the new untouchables? Will they face arrests, or will they have to deal with forced vaccinations? And beginning to seriously wonder if we've come to that. Will we be marked with yellow stars? Is Kristallnacht ahead? Night of broken glass for those who choose to not get this injection? So I'm going to be playing some sound bites this hour. They would be heavily from Dr. Peter McCullough. Explain who he is momentarily. And then I am joined in studio by Twyla Braes, and she has joined me on air several times as she is considered a leading voice in the field of healthcare. She's head of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, CCH, freedom.org. She headquarters in St. Paul, I headquarter in Minneapolis, and she was declared one of the 100 most influential people in healthcare at one time. Twyla, welcome back.
Great to be here, Jan.
What I want to do, you were here in the spring. Not that long ago, but a lot has changed. Here are 10 things that have changed since you were last here, and I want your comment when I finish this real short list. Number one, Department of Justice saying it's okay to force these injections. Two, the unvaccinated are under unprecedented attack. Wasn't the case 4 or 5 months ago. Three, masks could be removed, but now they're back even for the injected. Four, there's much more talk again of more shutdowns. Five, people are literally rioting all over at least Europe because of the mandates and more lockdowns. Six, nations like Australia remain virtual prisoners in some portions of Australia due to some restrictions. Seven, Vaccine mandates are the number one topic of discussion almost everywhere. 8 terrible splits now among family, even churches, over this injection. Have you taken it? And if not, why not? 9, there are now variants that have surfaced, such as the Delta variant. And 10, the injected are getting the virus, even though they've been supposedly protected by the injection. Those are 10 things that are different. You were here just a few months ago, and I could list another 10. We won't take the time. Where do you see all of this going?
Clearly, I think we have a problem in the country in that we have an administration that is pushing for the rights of the people to be taken away. We have a mostly clueless public who has swallowed this injection as though it were a vaccine when very clearly it is not a vaccine. And there is this overwhelming fear factor and fear-mongering that have been pushed across the American people, and they fear for their lives. This is very interesting because there is, in a sense, a really inexpensive, effective cure. And that's the other thing that I would say, is that there is this amazing blackout, actually on two things, on the fact that there are drugs like ivermectin, right, and hydroxychloroquine. And just to show you how effective it is, Indonesia just ordered 14 million doses for their country. And Zimbabwe can just have it in their home and they take it when they think they've got the virus, right, and then they go see the doctor. The other blackout has to do with all of the people who are being adversely affected by the injection. And it's as though they are silenced. And Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin got together with a former Green Bay Packer whose wife has been severely affected, right, and tried to bring some light to all the people. There are 500,000 cases. There's 500,000 adverse events that have been reported after vaccination. And that's only the tip of the iceberg, because a study back in 2011 said that less than 1% of adverse events are ever reported to this adverse events reporting system.
I am concerned when I'm watching parts of Europe. Protests are raging across Europe because of lockdowns, because of vaccination mandates. We're seeing thousands of demonstrators come out in London, Dublin, Paris, Rome, Athens, all across Europe because European leaders have cracked down. And there's absolutely no freedom in some of these major cities. I'm going back to your words. It's the fear factor that is instilled in the leaders of these countries. And the people want to be free. There's no way they can be free. Now, is that coming to Canada and to America? I fear that it is.
I think it depends on how far it goes. Clearly, there are already 3 states who are losing populations. Those people are going to Florida. They're going to Texas. They're going to the free states. At a certain point, that won't be sufficient. If all of these employers start forcing vaccination or termination, as this one Houston hospital did, and 157 healthcare workers either left their job or were fired, I think this is where we're going to be in this country.
You referenced the hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, et cetera, and I want to pick up on it. I'm playing a short clip here. It's Dr. Peter McCullough. He's on air with Tucker Carlson, and McCullough brings up the fact that the obvious cure for the dilemma has been suppressed for a year and a half. Let's play this clip and come back and talk about it.
Fortunately, I got some help from Senator Johnson in Washington, and ultimately this led to my U.S. Senate testimony on November 19th. And honestly, a real congealing of people that said, listen, something is up. There is an incredible suppression of early treatment in the medical literature.
Why would that is so dark? It's hard to believe that it's real, but of all people, you would know. So why would physicians, public health officials, politicians try to suppress information about the treatment of a disease they claim they want to prevent or help America overcome? Why would they do that?
I testified in the U.S. Senate November 19th. We have seen things we cannot imagine in academic medicine. Lancet published a fake paper that came from a fake database that implied that hydroxychloroquine hurt people in the hospital. And we looked at it in 2 seconds. I knew it was a fake paper. They had 70,000 patients in a database that had detailed drug information back in December and going forward. We didn't have that back then. Mean age was 49. We don't hospitalize people at age 49. This went through peer review. It was agreed upon by all the editors. It hung up in Lancet for 2 weeks and scared the bejabbers out of the world by using hydroxychloroquine.
I remember that really well.
And this is the most frequently used, widely relied upon drug in the world, but something's going on.
I'm sorry to back up and pardon my ignorance. I didn't even know this happened. I remember the paper very well because it had political uses at the time because the then president had suggested maybe hydroxychloroquine would be a helpful therapy. And that paper is used to beat him over the head with it. But who would write a fake paper? Who did that? Do we know?
Well, it came from a company called Surgisphere, which rapidly dissolved. The Lancet published a retraction that said, you know, we just couldn't verify the data, and so we're retracting it. No apologies, no explanation of how this could have influenced world events. It greatly influenced the FDA staffers, who wrote an FDA warning, said, well, listen, we think hydroxychloroquine causes harm. Doctors shouldn't use this. It was based upon a fake paper. This went to the American Medical Association, then the Board of Pharmacies.
Is this a real story?
This is a real story. And doctors were writing prescriptions for hydroxychloroquine, and also their medical licenses are being threatened. There have been cases all over the country of doctors trying to help patients. And hydroxychloroquine is one of 4 to 6 drugs we use for COVID-19. It is extraordinary. Listen to this. April.
Wait, to this day, hydroxychloroquine
absolutely,
is used?
Absolutely.
But I thought I heard on NBC News that hydroxychloroquine was poison. It was like fish tank cleaner and only quacks used it.
The best approaches use, if we can, we would use the antibodies that President Trump received. And those are EUA. Listen, that was Operation Warp Speed. Terrific. The current product is Regeneron product. We use that up front. We can follow it in high-risk individuals with 2 drugs to reduce viral replication, typically hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin plus doxycycline or azithromycin. Outside the United States, they use favipiravir, which is oral remdesivir, approved and by regulatory agencies in 5 countries to treat COVID-19. No light of day in the United States for favipiravir. We can use these drugs early. Early is very important. Remdesivir 2 weeks later, not very impressive. And then very importantly, inhaled steroids, and then oral steroids in that middle phase, and then we use aspirin and blood thinners on the back end, just like we do in the hospital. It's called sequence multi-drug therapy. I published the follow-up paper in Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine in December of 2020, the most widely cited paper from that journal for COVID-19, a dedicated issue. And this became the basis for the American early treatment movement.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Twyla Braes from Citizens Council for Health Freedom. I just played a clip of Dr. Peter McCullough, who is an internist, cardiologist, and he has weighed in heavily, testified to Congress and more. Twyla, your thoughts on that? The obvious treatments, simple treatments, even inexpensive treatments, all thrown under the bus so that we can get focused on injection and vaccine.
Tucker is correct that it is very dark, but to me it feels very criminal.
Yes.
Because people are dying unnecessarily in this country. Doctors' hands are being tied. I've had people whose doctors have said to them, well, no, we can't use ivermectin because it has not been approved. Do you have any idea how many drugs doctors use that aren't approved for that use by the FDA? This is a very common practice. So it is the higher ups telling them that they can't use ivermectin. So ivermectin is so inexpensive and so effective, and yet it's being totally blacklisted in this country. And unless you can go to one of the good doctors around the country who are actually doing this, it's going to be very difficult for you. You might make it through COVID, but you might have long COVID at the end of it.
You sent out an e-newsletter here very recently. Folks, you can sign up for those at cchfreedom.org. That's Citizens Council for Health Freedom. One of the headlines is, don't be afraid of the Delta variant. And you say, look at the data. Delta is considered more transmissible, less virulent. While cases increase, hospitalizations and death have flatlined, and yet here in America, we've been turned upside down over this Delta variant. It's the Delta variant that the powers that be in Washington are using to pick up the intensity for everybody getting an injection. This is what they're using. You say don't be afraid of it.
Right. It's all about facts. What we're in is a battle of fact-telling against fear-mongering. It's very clear if you Google COVID death rates, and right up will come this chart that will show you exactly how many deaths since the middle of March in 2020. You can see the deaths, and then you can look at it for new cases. And you'll see that the cases are rising, but you'll see that the deaths aren't doing anything. This is what's happening everywhere. All you have to do is look at the actual deaths. Ignore the cases. We don't even know that the cases are correct because the PCR test is up to 90% false positives.
Okay.
So that we could have all of these people that they're saying have COVID and they don't actually have COVID.
Interesting.
And the same thing for the deaths. The same type of false positive problem could be that they're saying that there's a death and it's not really a death from COVID.
Sure.
And in fact, Santa Clara County in California has now reduced their death certificates from COVID by 22%.
Also new, since you were last here in the spring, is this effort to go door to door. The administration is hiring people to go door to door to encourage them. Last time you were here, you really stressed that this vaccine is not a vaccine. Even the fact that sometimes you or I might use the term the vaccine, it really isn't. We should probably explain why. But first, tell me, what do you recommend? And actually, I talked about this last weekend with Bill Koenig. He's not a medical specialist. I consider you very respected in the medical community. What do you say to my audience when they get the knock on the door and it's somebody from the administration saying, have you been vaccinated? Have you had the injection? No. Well, here's why you must get it. What should my listeners do?
My first recommendation is that you look through the screen and you see who's outside the door. If you don't know them, if they put a health department thing up in front of you, you're not there to answer their questions. So as soon as you find out this is about the COVID injection, you'd kindly say, thank you very much, but I'm not interested in talking about this, and shut the door. Or you don't even have to say anything. You can just say, I didn't invite you. Now you can leave. Because there is no requirement that you open the door. There's no requirement that you answer any questions. And I think it's in North Carolina that they're actually bringing the injection to the door. Mm-hmm. When I heard that, I thought, well, now there's a lot of allergic reactions that have happened. Who's watching over them for the first 30 minutes? Or are they just going from door to door? That by itself is bad. And then it's against your rights to have anything forced on you at your door.
Last time you were here, you explained, and it was a very good explanation, we need to repeat it, and that is why this isn't a vaccination. So even when you or I might use that term, we really mean an injection, a jab, whatever, but it's not a vaccination. I think that needs to be repeated.
A vaccine, according to the CDC, provides immunity. That's in the definition of a vaccine. Then they have a definition of immunity. And immunity, very specifically in their definition, says it prevents disease. I think I maybe said last time, when you get a tetanus vaccine, then you don't get sort of tetanus, right?
That's right.
You don't get tetanus.
That's right.
That's what vaccines do. When you got the smallpox, you don't get smallpox. It's not like you get a mild case. In this case, your listeners may be hearing about so-called breakthrough cases. But the fact of the matter is, Fauci has testified before Congress that this so-called vaccine was never intended to prevent infection. And the efficacy rates that you see are not about preventing infection. They're only about reducing clinically recognizable disease, which is another way of saying symptoms. So there's no such thing as a breakthrough case because it's not a vaccine. Nobody's getting vaccinated. They're getting a therapeutic. And so they fully expect people who have gotten the injection to get the virus.
Want to play one more clip? Again, Dr. Peter McCullough, internist, cardiologist, and virologist as well. And again, he's been testifying before Congress, very articulate. By the way, he is a believer as well. Let's play this clip and come back and talk about it.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough, and I'm an internist and cardiologist and academic physician, professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine on the Baylor Dallas campus. I think this whole pandemic from the beginning was about the vaccine. So I think all roads lead to the vaccine and what it means. There are already places in Southeast Asia and Europe, they're laying the groundwork for a compulsory vaccination. I mean compulsory. That means somebody pins you down to the ground and puts a needle in you. That's how bad stakeholders want vaccination. That's not of cost. You don't have to pay for it. It's all provided. There are people or stakeholders, they do want a needle in every arm. This needle in every arm is a very important moniker. Why? Why do you want a needle in an arm? Let's take COVID recovered. Can't get the virus, can't receive it. It has nothing to do. Why would they ever want a needle in the arm of a COVID recovered patient? Why? Three studies show higher safety events. See, the tension that Americans are feeling right now as they're trying to keep their jobs and go to work, is they know they can die of the vaccine. That's the problem. If the vaccine was like water and you just got it, no side effects, who wouldn't take it? Say, hey, I'll comply. They got my Social Security number anyway in a database. I'm already marked. I'll just get marked. But no, there's something very unique about this vaccine. It's something about injecting something into a body that is so important to stakeholders that it doesn't matter. Kids 12 years old told they can make their own decision on this, and it could be their fatal decision? Think about that. North Carolina just passed that. Oh, kids 12 years old can decide on their own. There are over 4,000 dead Americans. There's over 10,000 dead people in Europe that die on days 1, 2, and 3 after the vaccine. Why are we pushing this in a way where people's jobs and their education and their livelihood decide on a decision that's potentially fatal? The tension, you can cut it with a knife. There are parents that say, listen, I want my kid to go to college this year, but I don't want to lose him to the vaccine. They know what's going on. The internet is full of these cases. Blood clots, strokes, immediate death. Now, I'm fortunate. I have not directly lost a patient to the vaccine. I told you, most got vaccinated in December, January, February. Based on the safety data now, I can no longer recommend it. I can't recommend it. It's passed all the thresholds to being a safe product. It's not a safe product. None of them are. It's not just Johnson & Johnson. In fact, more of the safety events in the United States have occurred with Moderna and Pfizer. There are now papers written by prominent scientists calling for a worldwide halt in the program. There are prominent virologists, many of them, including Nobel Prize winners, who have said, listen, if we vaccinate people and we create a very narrow, incomplete library of immunity, which is what the vaccine is, the vaccines are all targeted to the original Wuhan spike protein, which is long gone. That's extinct. Patients are getting vaccinated to something that doesn't even exist anymore. That Wuhan spike protein is gone. We're hoping the immunity covers the other variants. But that narrow immunity is a setup. It's just like giving everybody a narrow spectrum antibiotic. If you did that, what would happen? We'd grow up superbugs. There are warnings out there saying, don't do this. Don't vaccinate the entire world. All we're going to do is set ourselves up for a superbug that's going to really wipe out populations. So for many reasons, the vaccine, indiscriminate vaccination, is a horrendous idea. It's a horrendous bioweapon that's been thrust onto the public, and it's going to cause great personal harm, which it already has. Thousands of people have lost their lives. I've never lost a direct patient, but I've had my patients lose their family members, lots of them. I filled out a safety report on a patient who developed blood clots after one of the Pfizer Moderna vaccine. And I'm telling you, it took half an hour to do it. There was many pages, and each page said, warning, federal offense, punishable by severe fines and penalties if I falsified a report. All those thousands of Americans that have died with the vaccine and hospitalizations in the database, I think, are real. And they are far beyond anything we've ever seen. And as a doctor and as a public citizen, I am extraordinarily concerned about the vaccine. The vaccine center right down the street here is empty. I drive past it every day. Americans know. They're talking to each other. The vaccine's not safe. And now the effort is the vaccine stakeholders want kids without parental guidance, and now they want to be in the church. Americans and people worldwide should be extraordinarily alarmed.
Twyla Brace, we have people listening right now. They've gotten the injection, and they were encouraged to by their doctor, their family members, even their church. And here we have a little clip from a very respected physician, internist, cardiologist, Peter McCullough, saying this could even be a bioweapon. We're not trying to scare people. We are trying to throw out a word of caution that maybe don't take the second injection and let's just not even go there.
When I listened to the very first thing that he said is all roads point to the vaccine, right? And I think that this is true. And you can think, now, what is really behind all of this? I feel like they're trying to set a new precedent of government power over the people, and that it has always been a goal of the government to say, this is a vaccine and you need to take it. They've never liked all the parents who refuse to take different vaccines. California said they won't even take a doctor's slip, right? It's got to be the government that will approve whether the medical exemption is real or not. This is setting a new precedent. I do believe that they want this kind of control. They want to say they got everybody to do it. They want to get to the point where they have pulled in all the organizations and all the corporations. And we've gotten to this point where they are all working in collaboration with the government to bring everybody into this injection. And, you know, it's not a vaccine. People are going to die, and we don't even know what the long-term effects of this are. I think this is nothing about COVID. I listened to David Martin, and everybody should look up Fauci dossier.
Okay.
Because he's created this thing for the world to see what is happening behind the scenes. And one of the things he said is the virus was introduced to introduce the vaccine.
Interesting.
Well, isn't that interesting?
That's a startling statement you just made. Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing because I'm not looking at it, but it's something just about that short and sweet.
Though we don't want to put people who may have had the vaccine in a panic mode. That's my concern, because we're not here to scare. We are here to inform.
You just look around and the majority of people who have had the injection have not had any side effects. And I would sort of like to say yet,
okay,
because we do not know what the long-term effects are. And people who have had it, many of them have not wanted it. They've been told that they can't see their grandchildren if they don't have it. They've been told that they can't have their job. They've been told so many things, and they just relented. We don't know what's going to happen, and hopefully, God willing, there won't be any major long-term reactions. But there are certainly current short-term reactions, which aren't in the news very much at all. And those have been very dangerous, permanently disabling. So everybody can look up OpenVAERS, V-A-E-R-S, OpenVAERS. And it's a very easy way to look at the number of these adverse events that are happening around the country.
Just a quick heads up that Twyla does have a book. It's Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. Best way to find that?
BigBrotherInTheExamRoom.com.
Twyla, I think I saw on your website that you have tools to use with the person's employer to possibly get an injection exemption. Is that right?
That's correct. And so
we'll do that when we get back. I want to head there almost immediately when we get back. Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm going to come back in just a couple of minutes. Please don't go away. We're going to wrap up the next half hour with Twyla Brace. By the way, she's got a fall banquet coming
up. Yeah, it's a banquet fundraising event for our organization. And we have Dr. Scott Atlas, who is President Trump's COVID-19 advisor. He was there to counter everything that Fauci was trying to impose upon the country. And so we're very glad to have him at September 9th at the Golden Valley Country Club in Golden Valley. And you can find that on our website at cchfreedom.org.
Just a heads up here that Olive Tree and yours truly are being misrepresented on social media, and particularly on YouTube. There are fake channels being posted to YouTube with our radio program. Some are asking for money, which we never, ever do. So if you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would be helpful. You will always get the proper programming sent to you. There are other places online we're being misrepresented, and you can contact the ministry if you see things posted that seem to be fraudulent. This applies only to online issues and not to any of our radio stations. Back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. It's right around the corner now, so why not get it on your calendar and plan to live stream this timely event? Behold He Comes is the West Coast Prophecy Conference on September 11th at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All seats are taken, but you can stream the event live or on demand anytime for just $5. Here is Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Hi, I'm Pastor Jack Hibbs, and I want to encourage you, Pastor, to join us for a live stream event on September 11th, that's a Saturday, 2021, where we are going to be hosting a very special Bible prophecy conference titled, Behold, He Comes. My goodness, around the world, There are so many things going on that herald the coming of Jesus. So we're going to get together, and I'm going to be joined with special guest speakers Amir Serfate and Jan Markell and Barry Stagner as we spend Saturday, September 11th, streaming live various teachings concerning what does the Bible say about our days. We believe it's going to be a great opportunity for you to gather your church together and have a tremendous time of being in the Word. We'd love to have you join us. It'd be very exciting. So listen, to find out more, please go to beholdhecomes.org. Beholdhecomes.org, and we hope to see you online.
Everybody who doesn't want this injection needs to join together. Just like the protest in Europe, we all think we're in land of the free and the brave, but the free is going away,
right.
Now we need to have the brave or we're going to lose the free.
Right.
We're at a tipping point. Are we going to end up with freedom or are we going to end up with complete government control?
We know you can't always be by our radio, so just remember that our programming is posted to our website in both its audio and video format. Just go to olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then to radio. You can also find us on YouTube, Rumble, Light Source, and his channel. Now here are Jan Markell and Twyla Braze to wrap up today's program.
This morning, as fewer Americans are being tested for the coronavirus, the number of infections is rising at a worrisome pace across the country. Compared to last month, new COVID infections have jumped nearly 30% nationally. In 11 states, cases are climbing by at least 25%. Yet in some places, people are still hesitant to get vaccinated despite plenty of availability. In Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, COVID cases have shot up 44% in the past 2 weeks.
Appointments are going unfilled. We've got thousands of appointments available over the next few weeks and no takers at this point.
The Biden administration is recruiting a chorus of voices to get word out vaccines are safe and up to 90% effective.
We have enough of it. You need to be protected, and you need in turn to protect your neighbors and your family. So please, get the vaccine.
Hopefully I can see family soon. I've stayed away. So yeah, that is exciting.
But while nearly half of all adults in the U.S. have received at least one shot, vaccinating the other half may not happen as quickly. Visiting North Carolina, Vice President Kamala Harris urged patience and outreach to those who are reluctant.
In terms of the hesitancy issue, it's real. So that is about continuing to do the work of reminding folks that it is safe, that it is effective, that it will save their lives.
The stakes in the global pandemic couldn't be higher, with COVID-19 surging around the world for an eighth week in a row, according to the WHO. In the U.S., the State Department announcing its Do Not Travel guidance will extend to about 80% of countries in the world, citing unprecedented risk to travelers from COVID-19. This morning, growing worry abroad and here at home over a virus that won't go away.
Welcome back. Just a real quick heads up here that our Understanding the Times summer session, the first one, by the way, that we've had, will be this Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. We're back at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. It will be live streamed, and you can access the event featuring Michelle Bachman, Pastor Mark Henry, yours truly, by clicking on a link on the homepage of olivetreeviews.org. That link won't be posted till the day before, or maybe even that day, August the 12th, this Thursday. There's no cost, no registration needed. Seating is going to be first come, first served. We expect a full house. Michelle will consider the important issues of the day. We'll talk current events. We'll talk eschatology and more. This Thursday, August 12th, 7 p.m. Central, go to our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And you'll be directed to the live stream. Come on out if you live in the area. Revive Church, formerly Brooklyn Park Evangelical Free Church, 7849 West Broadway, Brooklyn Park. And the program will be posted to our website. You can watch it a day later, a week later, a month later, doesn't matter. It'll be on demand, but no cost, no registration. Let me just read a couple of short emails. I think this is the tone of many in America, Western world. Jan, I need help, please. I need direction. I'm in danger of losing my livelihood. I know I can try and claim religious exemption, but the website my place of employment provides states that Christians have no objection to the vaccines, and then places links to, for instance, the Christian Medical and Dental Association website, where the language is basically, you're going to love your neighbor, you get the vaccine. And that outweighs everything else. That's just one. Here's another email I got. I work in a world-renowned healthcare medical facility. My husband and I chose to not get vaccinated with the COVID-19 injection. I just wanted to request prayer for families like us being mandated by our employer to take the COVID-19 injection. We, as of now, are being told that we still have the right to refuse and that we can fill out a declination form and that we will not be terminated. But will we be required to have extra education and training modules through our employer on the COVID-19 vaccine? It's not hard to see that when this plan to force people who up until now have refused the injection and are still refusing the injection after the training modules, those individuals who still refuse this will eventually be declared a danger to others in the workplace. I then assume that we will be terminated. Please keep the people forced to deal with this decision in prayer. Quite frankly, I get emails like that on a daily basis because it's coming down to that. It's coming down to got to make a decision that's a really tough one to make. I'm spending the hour with Twyla Brace, and she is head of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, cchfreedom.org. I've had her on several times. And I said in the opening of the program she was on, I believe in May, that a lot has changed since May. My goodness, we're not going to go over that list again, but just in 3-4 months, the scenario has changed so drastically. So I wanted to get to a particular issue because, Twyla, you have it on your website, and that would be tools to use. When an employer says you've got to get the injection, the jab, whatever you want to call it, you have to get it, you have a way to fight back. Please talk to us.
We have a website called Real Risk, as in more than one risk, realrisk.org. And it's got a variety of tools on there, including the risk that you can face. There is a one-pager of information that's well-cited. All the citations are on the backside of the paper to give to your employer to say, this is why I do not want to be forced to take this injection. And I just want to say here that Vice President Harris, that was a complete lie. For one thing, hesitancy is not hesitancy. So they're calling it hesitancy as just saying, well, everybody really wants it. Few people are hesitant. No, there's a lot of people who said, absolutely not. This is not hesitancy. Then she says it's safe, it's not safe, and she says it's effective, and it's not effective. People who are getting the injection are getting the COVID-19. This kind of a lie coming right out of the vice president of our country is bad, and it encourages businesses to do that to people because it's safe, it's effective. Everybody wants to get it, just a few of them are hesitant. Go to realrisk.org, and you will also have access to our early treatment page. And I think this is a real resource, because the entire discussion is on vaccination. Vice President Harris also said that the way to get out of this is vaccination. Well, that's not true either, because the way to get out of this is to treat it like any kind of illness that we have. We treat it. We do not vaccinate ourselves against everything that could possibly happen to us. And again, it's not a vaccine, but we just need to use the treatment. And it's like it's completely ignored. The early treatment section of realrisk.org should be a very useful tool for everyone. There's videos of doctors who talk about how they have used these treatments and all the people that have survived, and hardly any of them have been hospitalized or even died. This is what would give people hope, and this is really the answer out of the pandemic. It's just that the higher-ups don't want us to go that direction.
Going to realrisk.org, and I did, and I looked up some of the real risks. There have been almost 500,000 reports of adverse events. And I'm sure tens of thousands aren't being reported. Perhaps they're a little more minor. Some are drastic, including death, anaphylactic reactions, allergic reactions, the vascular issues, blood clots, stroke, cardiac and respiratory, cardiac arrest, my goodness, atrial fibrillation, shortness of breath, inflammation, including myocarditis and pericarditis, nervous system disorders, Guillain-Barré, Bell's palsy, seizure, muscle spasms and twitching for weeks and sometimes months, sensory cognition, headache, loss of sight, hearing, speech, tinnitus, brain fog, cognitive decline, compromised immune system, and then there would be the unknown long-term effects. And I haven't included everything in this list at realrisk.org, but just what I have read, again, people are rushing like lemmings over a cliff to get the injection. And there are some potential, not everyone is going to have a problem, but when you see the potential problems, I hope people might be thinking twice.
I was trying to think if it's the swine flu or if it's H1N1. I think it was the swine flu where they got a whole bunch of cases of Guillain-Barré and
yes.
57 deaths and they shut it off. We're already, according to OpenVares, over 11,000 deaths. And those are probably minimal because I have been on other interviews and heard people talking about how this guy died a day after, and the interviewer said, well, you already told me about that guy. No, this is a new guy.
Okay.
He died one day after the vaccine. I do not believe that all of these deaths after vaccination are reported. I believe there's a whole bunch of deaths, a whole bunch of adverse events. This reporting system is very difficult. And as Dr. McCullough said, it talks about how while you're doing this report, if you just say anything that's wrong, you can be fined or jailed or it's fraud. So there's a lot of people who would find that very scary and they're just going to give up. It's like 6 pages long of reporting.
Yes.
So there's all sorts of adverse events happening in this country that we have no clue that are happening.
One more clip of Dr. McCullough.
U.S. FDA regulatory guidance on vaccines. And there have been modern vaccines. You don't have to pick the old ones. I mean, we've had modern vaccines, shingles vaccines, hepatitis B, meningococcal vaccines, demand a minimum of 2 years of safety data. 2 years by regulatory. In fact, these are kind of written and codified into the regulatory rules for the manufacturers. That was all thrown out and said 2 months. For COVID, 2 months. So 2 months of observational data. This idea that we could vaccinate people that were not even tested in the trials, that has never been done before. We have never just thrown a vaccine at somebody without having any data. None. So the very first pregnant woman that was vaccinated here in the United States, it was done with no knowledge of safety and no knowledge of efficacy. And the argument that we've heard is, well, COVID-19 is a bad illness. 600,000 people have died. The vaccine could help them. We should give it a shot. Come on, we should just give it a shot. Well, that 600,000 died. I've already told you 85% of that was preventable with early treatment, which was actively suppressed and squashed. And not only that, is if this vaccine can help them, the vaccine better be safe. It better be safe. And my comments on the vaccine are safety, safety, safety. Let's see it. And Americans ought to, just like the Americans should have been getting weekly updates on treatment innovations, Americans should have been getting weekly updates on vaccine safety. Very important. Weekly updates from our federal officials on safety. Super important. Those two things are probably the two largest acts of malfeasance in all of medical regulatory history. It will go down in history of malfeasance, wrongdoing by those of authority. How come there was no updates on treatment and no promotion of early treatment to reduce hospitalization and death? And now when we release the vaccine, why are there no safety updates? Why are there no attempts for risk mitigation in terms of making the vaccine program safer? How do we have all these vaccines? How do we know that we can vaccinate pregnant women? We know because of years and years and years of safety data. Before a vaccine has ever been injected into a pregnant woman, it's probably been tested for decades before we try it in a pregnant woman. We would never out of the box take a brand new technology that's never been tested before, ever. And we know that the vaccine technology produces the dangerous spike protein. It produced the Wuhan spike protein, the spicule on the ball of the virus itself, which damages blood vessels and causes blood clotting. And all of them do. We would never unleash that into a pregnant woman's body. Americans have to understand something is very wrong what's going on. What's going on now in the world, these are examples, are clear-cut examples of wrongdoing that is at such a high level, the groupthink is in the wrong direction in such a consistent and overwhelming way that people are being harmed in an extraordinary fashion.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio Twyla Brace, Citizens Council for Health Freedom, headquarters out of St. Paul, Minnesota. Twyla, are Americans participating in a global experiment?
Absolutely. There's so little clinical trials that ever happened before. They weren't even done with phase one before they started phase two. Phase two is supposed to be 15 months long before you even start phase three. And what are we, 18 months into the whole pandemic? And we've had people injected since January. As Dr. McCullough said, it should have had several years. So they're still collecting data, and they're trying to say, well, that's what always happens after a vaccination. We continue to collect data. But the fact of the matter is, most of them wouldn't have gotten out to be in anybody's arm for at least 5 years.
Okay.
We are in a global experiment. Those who choose not to get the injection, they can call themselves the control group. And every experiment needs a control group. So those who choose not to be part of the injection are the control group. And we need a nice, healthy control group to see what exactly is happening with the others versus the control group.
You have a billboard campaign. I believe you currently have one in Elk River, Minnesota. Talk to me a little bit about it. I think you're hoping to expand that.
Yes, and you can go to realrisk.org and you can see it. It says, don't be bullied, and it's got a picture of a blue-gloved hand holding up a COVID-19 vaccine bottle. It talks about how many deaths have been reported from the CDC, and it says, make an informed choice, and then realrisk.org, so people can know where they can go to make that informed choice. We're actually changing that a little bit just so we can get more billboard companies who are willing to take it on, but it's still going to lead to realrisk.org. We do have people interested in Wisconsin actively planning to fund one. We have some people in Idaho, and there's another person in Texas. This is a battle, and everybody can feel it coming from the colleges that are saying no education if you don't have vaccination, right? This helps people continue their hard spine, as it were, to stand up strong against being forcibly injected. As Dr. McCullough said, it is indeed that when what's in that vial of injection goes into your arm, those are the RNA instructions that go into every cell to tell the cell to make the spike protein. And then it's not like a piece of the virus is going in. It's the RNA of the spike protein that's going in there, telling it to make the spike protein and then hoping that your body will respond by creating an immune response. That's what they say. But it's not actually a vaccine. There is no protection against COVID. And here we have people with spike protein. There are studies that say they're finding spike protein circulating throughout the body. And in a regular vaccine, it all stays in the deltoid muscle. And the body has an immune response, and the immune response circulates, but not the rest of it.
You're raising questions in people's minds, obviously. Would it be okay for my audience if they need to ask your organization questions on this? They can contact you?
Sure.
CCHfreedom.org?
That's right. The email address is there. The phone number is there. Yeah.
As I can almost hear the wheels turning in a lot of minds as we're talking, because some of this is new information to people. Again, I said earlier, some have had the injection and maybe are regretting it. Others are planning on getting it here in the near future. Folks, I've referenced this headline a couple of times previously. It's worth referencing. It happens to be out of Arutz Sheva. That's an Israeli newspaper. The headline reads, "We won't force the vaccine, but here's what we will do." And then the subheadline, "The issue of how to motivate vaccine compliance has generated increasing interest, with commentators such as so-and-so writing, government won't force you to take the vaccine, but Amazon will, the airlines will, banks will. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without the vaccine." Those aren't my words. That comes from Arutz Sheva in Israel. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without the vaccine. Now, are we saying this is the mark of the beast? Of course we're not saying that. All we're saying is secular outfits are sounding very apocalyptic, whether they know it or not. It sounds like they're quoting the book of Revelation when they say you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without the vaccine. Those are not my words. They're not Twyla's words. That's from the Arutz Sheva newspaper. Your thought on that?
It just reminded me, I think it's France, who the government did come out and said, without proof of vaccination, that you will not be able to get into bars, restaurants, shops, no public establishments. This is unheard of. It's complete loss of freedom.
I have an email from someone who has parents in France, and they're trying to make sure that those parents have access to vegetables or some kind of food because they may be denied entry into a grocery store. I don't know what city, folks, but it's an email from somebody who's in France, terrified that her elderly parents aren't even going to be able to get groceries if they don't. All we're saying is there's some strong-arm tactic going on all over the world. That's why I happened to read that headline one more time. I have read it before. Liberty Counsel says employers can be held liable for adverse injuries and death. That ought to make employers think 100 times over before they force this.
It ought to, but they're probably not listening to Liberty Counsel.
They may not be.
They're listening to the government, and they're thinking, this is what we have to do. We want our business back. We want the government to be happy with us. Mm-hmm. We want our grants, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're listening to that, but individuals should listen to that, should hold their employer's feet to the fire, should bring in a note and ask the employer to sign it. Just put the pressure on the employer. And I think everybody who doesn't want this injection needs to join together. Just like the protest in Europe, we all think we're in land of the free and the brave, but the free is going away.
Right,
and
right.
Now we need to have the brave or we're going to lose the free. Right. We're at a tipping point. Are we going to end up with freedom or are we going to end up with complete government control?
Very well stated. I appreciate the way you said that. And I'm going back to something we referenced earlier. And that is, are we going to be in a permanent pandemic state? We don't know, but we may be. But isn't this ultimately about power and control, not health?
Oh, it's definitely ultimately about power and control. I don't know if we'll ever get to the origins of where mm-hmm. this came from, mm-hmm. but just listening to somebody who is very involved in it called Peter Daszak saying back in 2015, that we have to get the public to realize there has to be a pan-flu or a pan-coronavirus vaccine, and we need the media to hype it. And here we are. We're all seeing this hype, and we're seeing the danger of everything being censored that doesn't have to do with
That's
the vaccine.
Right.
Our organization has had one thing about ivermectin censored, another thing about the vaccine censored.
Okay.
If you're not talking pro about the vaccine, you're likely to be censored. If you're talking pro about ivermectin, you're likely to be censored. It's like this complete line of censorship, the complete curtain over real truth.
And folks, this program will not be posted to YouTube. It would last about 20 seconds. So electronically, we'll have it at Rumble, at my website, olivetreeviews.org. We'll have it at Lightsource, at his channel, but we will not have it at YouTube because we'll get a strike and possibly have the entire channel taken down because what we're talking about, for some reason, is verboten. Can't talk about any of this. In spite of this, Twyla, 40% of the Marines have refused vaccination. 62.5% of the staff at thousands of skilled nursing facilities have refused the injection. 60% of some 700 physicians who were surveyed are not vaccinated. So to make the conclusion that everyone is going along with this is absolutely not the case, maybe just the opposite.
And I love the film and music artists now. They're starting to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember which artist it is that recently just said, if you don't let the unvaccinated into this venue as well, if you're only going to let the vaccinated in, I'm not playing. This is very good to have this kind of pushback coming at that level, and we need a lot more pushback. Well, I was just going to say the number of people who have had the injection. So Israel, there's about 55% mm-hmm. of the new COVID cases, which
yes.
are from those who have had the injection. So certainly that's not helping. Massachusetts, 5,000 cases of COVID, and they're all injected people, and 80 of them have died. And I should say as well is apparently there's a new study, and I haven't read it very closely, but the places that have the highest injection rate are now starting to have the highest COVID rates.
Interesting, I got an email. Joel Rosenberg sent it out to his big list, and he said 36 of us attended a retreat and said my son's wedding in Florida, and we all contracted the COVID-19 virus. Almost certainly it was the Delta variant. Went on to say, three of these remain hospitalized, two are under the age of 50, two are senior citizens, a number of young people all under the age of 20 and all unvaccinated, contracted COVID. But he had been vaccinated in Israel, Joel had, I believe his wife had been vaccinated, a number in the party here were vaccinated either in Israel or in America. And yet 36 of the attendees that were attending various activities got it and got very, very ill in spite of the vaccination. So that came out as a mass email Joel sent out in the last day or two. Again, you can pick up Twyla's book, Big Brother, in the exam room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. We are down to a minute or two. If you want to talk about your banquet one more time, be my guest.
Yes, it is Thursday, September 9th in the Minneapolis area, the Golden Valley Country Club. It is Scott Atlas, MD, and he was the special advisor on COVID to President Trump. And the title of the event is called Never Give Up Speaking the Truth, An Insider's Fight Against the COVID-19 Fiasco. And those are his words that he actually told me in an email. And we were like, we're going to use those. Never give up speaking the truth. So Thursday, September 9th, it's in the evening. It's a dinner. There are hotels near the vicinity if you'd like to come. And we would love to see you.
Twyla, thank you for coming into the studio. Appreciate it a lot. Appreciate what you're doing. I think it's a ministry that is for such a time as this. Let me just go out of the program saying we live in crazy times, and it's both a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this. But won't you say with the prophet Isaiah, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will fly upon wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and they'll not be weary. And that's my parting wish for each listener here today, that you will not feel the weariness of this generation, that you will rather fly up as though you are on the wings of eagles. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week. You are the love
song we'll sing forever. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. It is both a privilege and a challenge to be born for such a time as this, but always remember, God remains in control. He holds you in the palm of His hand. The Bible said the last days would be perilous and everything is falling into place.